And God moved upon a king by the name of Cyrus to be benevolent to God's people and to give them the ability to return to Jerusalem and to start the rebuilding process. And not only did he give them leave to return, but he also provided them with resources and helpers to do the work. And he sent out an edict that wherever they were, wherever the people were found, they were to give them gold and silver and assistance so that the house of God, the temple, could be rebuilt. And this Haggai and Zechariah, they were two that God used among others to motivate, to inspire, to encourage the people to get to work, to rebuild the temple, to be about God's business and not to be weary and not to be distracted, but to be energized, to go forth and get the work done. And because there were people like them praying, encouraging, and working with the people, they were diligent. They hit a dry spell, Haggai mentioned, and God sent him by to encourage them again and say, I know that it doesn't look like it used to look for those that were around when the first temple was standing. But don't lose heart. Be encouraged. Put your hands to work, because when it's all done, the latter end will be better than the former. Meaning it's going to be greater. It's going to be more glorious. It's going to be better than it was before. And God is speaking to us that wherever we are in our spiritual journey, though you may be discouraged some, you may feel like things aren't happening fast enough for some, others may feel like you take one step forward and get knocked a couple of steps back. Sometimes that happens, but God will send people by to encourage us not to give up. Don't quit. Because God is with us and for us and working with us. And sometimes you just need that motivation, just need that encouragement from a brother, from a sister to say, no, stay in the race. Don't give up. God is with you. And when this is over, it's going to be better than it ever was before. I pray that we can believe that that's the God that we serve. Some of us now that are dealing with financial issues, if we keep working and trusting God, it's going to be better than it was before. Some of us that are still dealing with health challenges, I know it's been rough. For some, it's been protracted. But if we stay the course and keep trusting God, in the end, what God has done is going to speak. And no one will be able to deny that God has restored. So God is encouraging his people to do that. I told you to turn, or I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. But I want to come back to that, if you don't mind, and invite your attention to Ezra. I mentioned last week Ezra, or last couple of weeks Ezra. And now Ezra was a priest and a scribe of God. Because they had been in captivity, he wasn't able to perform his priestly duties. And as a result, he had time to meditate with God and to spend time with God. And God began to speak to him, to write and to inscribe certain things and to encourage the people. In Ezra chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse number 1. Those who are visiting with us, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your presence. Amen. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdoms and put it also in writing. This is some of what I was talking about just a few moments ago. Thus saith King Cyrus, king of Persia. Listen how Cyrus revealed this as Ezra records it. the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of that city place help of that his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, besides the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then verse number 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with the beast, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Now think about this. God is using a king that is not a Jew. He's using the Persian king, Cyrus. But Cyrus recognized that it was God that gave him the ability to conquer and to be over all the kingdoms of the people. And because of that, Cyrus says God has set him and sent him to send and to build him the temple in Jerusalem. We need to understand this, folks. Sometimes we overlook these things. God uses whomever he will. At any time, any place, to get his will done. Saved or unsaved, Jew or Gentile, Christian or not, God is able to move on the heart of anyone at any time to carry out his will. Here he moves on the heart of the king of Persia to rebuild the temple, to provide resources, to send out the edict for the people of God, for the Jews to go home and get back and get to building and get to work. We need to know that. Because as God speaks to us and gives us visions and gives us dreams and reveals his plans to us, we should know God is already dealing and moving on the hearts of people to come alongside and help us carry out what God has assigned us. Now, this is different from begging. God's people should never beg the world, should never beg anybody for anything. The man of God said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God's people are not to be beggars. Now I understand we see places in scripture where whatever reasons we find people begging. Maybe they had physical issues. They were unable to work. So they're begging. And God told his people to be kind, to be generous, to be benevolent to beggars. But God never intended for his people, the righteousness of God, to be beggars. But God wants us to realize that everything he assigns us to do, he will put people in place, move on their hearts with everything we need to get the job done. We just have to have faith and be willing to do things God's way. Have faith, trust God, and be willing to do things God's way. See, we do ourselves and the kingdom of God a disservice when we think we need to have in our possession all of the resources before we can do it. You know, I know I need to do such and such, but I don't have enough money right now. Let me wait and save my money. Then once I get the money, then I'll go and do what God told me to do. But remember, the God of the vision is the God of the provision. And whenever God gives us instructions, he just wants some faithful yeses. Yes. That will get in agreement with the vision of God and say, okay, God, let's do this. Okay, Father, let's do this. And let God put the pieces in place as we move forward. Sometimes you're going to have to step out before you see the step. And trust God to provide it every step of the way. Amen. See, the Bible says we, the just shall live by faith. You know, we use that scripture often. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Well, folks, if we gotta have everything before we start, we ain't living by faith. And at some point, we're going to have to learn that God isn't always going to give us the full measure at the beginning, but he's going to provide it as we go. As we go. Those 10 lepers that the Bible tells us were healed by Jesus, they were healed as they went. Because they trusted his word when he said, go show yourselves to the priest. It says, as they went, they were healed. Now they could have looked and said, well, I don't look any difference. Oh, this don't work. They're going home. But faith in what Jesus said caused them to head toward the priest, even though as they started, they still had signs of leprosy. But as they went to the priest, as they were instructed, then their healing, their cleansing manifested. And that's the same thing faith, same way faith works for us, brothers and sisters. When God tells us to step out, to move, begins to show us the vision for our family, show us the vision for the restoration, the repairing of our communities and for generations of things that have been disordered and dysfunctional. We've got to trust God and say, okay, Father, how do you want me? What is my role in this? And what should I be doing now? Amen. And as we get with God, he'll begin to reveal to us, this is what I want you to do. And know that I'm going to provide what you need to get the job done. And so he moves on King Cyrus. And this King Cyrus is one even today that's highly respected in all of antiquity. Because God favored him and God blessed him to be favorable to Israel. Even in Isaiah, I think it's verse in chapter 45, it speaks of this Cyrus as being anointed by God. A pagan king anointed by God to bless God's people. And we don't see that word in that term used for any other non-Jew. The king of the Jews was anointed. The priest was anointed. The prophet was anointed. Of course, Jesus, prophet, priest, and king was anointed. But no non-Jew had that designation but King Cyrus, that he was anointed by God to do that. But I can tell you, I believe throughout history, God has anointed people that are not saved to do what he wanted them to do. And they still needed to get to know him through Jesus for salvation. But he, because the anointing was on them. The anointing was on them to do what God gave them to do. But for us, the Holy Spirit is in us, working from the inside out. So a person cannot be saved and still be anointed by God for certain things at certain times, and they still need Jesus as their Savior and Lord. So sometimes instead of us sitting in judgment of people and situations because they may not act like Christians or may not even profess Christ, we should stop and see, well, Father, what are you doing? What are you up to? How are you working this thing out? wisdom, wisdom, saints, wisdom, 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 wisdom. God can use a donkey. Right? God can use a scavenger, a raven, to feed the man of God. God will use whatever, because everything is his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Right? Everything is his and everything is at his disposal. And so quickly as we move on, let's go over to chapter 5. Same book, Ezra. Chapter 5. Man. Verses 1 and 2. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God, the God of Israel, even unto them. There's those two prophets again. Haggai and Zechariah, that God used to prophesy, to speak to his people, to encourage them to get to work. Okay? Now we're going over to chapter 6, same book. Let's go down to verse number 14. Well, let's go to verse number 13. Then Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, Shethar Bozne, okay, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. Now let me tell you what's going on here. Cyrus gave the command for them to return. Gave them provisions to return earlier. Sent these prophets. These prophets are there to help in the work. As time went on, people often get discouraged. Sometimes they leave off the work. You know, they go back. You know, things aren't moving as quickly as they think they should. People get caught up in other things. You know how we do. Sometimes we're gung-ho. We're excited at the beginning of a project. But if things aren't moving like we think they should, sometimes we get discouraged, we get frustrated, then we want to leave and go do something else. Right? But folks, first of all, everything isn't easy. Some things take time. Young people, listen. Everything isn't always going to be easy. That doesn't mean you don't do it. It's too hard. I can't do it. Why I gotta be so hard? Everything ain't gonna be easy. But God with us enables us, if we stay patient and diligent, to get it done. Some of these problems we got ourselves into of our own making. Getting out may not be all that easy. But God working with us, I promise he'll bring us through quicker than we would ever get out on our own ingenuity. When we come out of this thing, we come out, the Bible says, with honor, with integrity, because we didn't have to cheat and steal and connive and scheme to try to work our way out of it. But we trusted God to bring us through, and he faithfully did just that. So some of them, they got a little down, and they wouldn't keep working. That's why Haggai them had to encourage them, because they got a little down, a little frustrated. You know, sometimes the same thing in the church. Some of us want things done like that. We want it done like that. Sometimes it can't get done like that. Right. Then some of us don't want to help do the work. We want it done, but we don't want to help get it done. Then some of us want it done, but we don't want to get no money to help get it done. But if you really want to see it done and you believe God wants it done, then I ought to be volunteering to help get it done with my time, with my resources, with my ingenuity, any way that I can assist to get it done. Right? Instead of sitting back with my arms folded, complaining and criticizing, I should be the first one up. Let's get this done. But here's the thing. with all of the Jews, and I don't have the number readily at my disposal right now, that went into captivity, even during this period of time, the edict goes out for people to, you can go back. The only people we see recorded in scripture that came back roughly the first time, maybe just around 50,000. And then on a second journey, about 2,000. Huh? Of all these Jews, potentially hundreds of thousands, maybe a million or more, that went into captivity, still only a handful, by comparison, have even cared to come back. Why? People go, they get settled, they get comfortable where they are. You remember all those people that got displaced during Hurricane Katrina, I think. They got displaced. Many went to Houston. Many went to other places. Still today, a lot of them still have not gone back. Now, we know, obviously, we know they've done a lot of things down there with gentrification and taking over the land and wanting to build other things. But there's still a lot of vacant places. Vacant homes have never been rebuilt. People have never come back. They've gone other places. They've gotten comfortable. They've gotten settled. They've gotten established there. They may not have the money to go back and rebuild, but they didn't go home. So that's what happened with the Jews. Here's the point. Thank y'all for staying with me. God can give us the vision for the restoration of our family. God can give us the vision for businesses, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the church, the faith community. God can show us these things, but if the people don't care enough or have gotten so comfortable where they are that they don't want to get involved, you'll have the same situation that the Jews had. You have the right to go back, but not the desire. The king's going to help. The government's going to help. But we still ain't going. God can send people to aid us, but we may not have the drive, the desire, the motivation. And that's sad. Because God's people should desire the kingdom of God. God's people, just like the Jews, should have desired their homeland. God's people should desire that which God has for them. That's the bottom line. The Bible talks about the exceeding great and precious promises that God has for us. But do we want them? Do we want them? And if we want them, are we willing then to position ourselves so that God can release them to us? Or do we want them on our terms? Too many people want what they want on their terms. Amen. That's even true in the church. People call the church for assistance. Some of them won't even come and get it. They want you to bring it to them. They want you to bring it to them. They want it on their terms. Folks are giving you something. They're giving you a washing machine or a dryer or a bedroom furniture. They're giving you stuff and they want you to bring it to them. They won't even get the initiative to call somebody. Got a truck. Rent a truck. $19.95. Go down and get you, rent a truck to go and pick up the stuff. They want it on their terms. And that's how many Christians are. We want God to bless. We want God to move. We want God to heal. We want God to restore. We want God to get us out of debt. We want God to fix it, but we want it on our terms. And it doesn't work that way. Because we're not dealing with each other. We're dealing with God. The God. The only God, the true God, the all-powerful God, the ever-present God, the sovereign God. And we still want to deal with God on our terms. God, I'll come, but. Remember, Jesus talked about some folks like that, you know, invited to a feast. I can't come. My father just died. But well, let me bury my father. The implication was he ain't dead yet. So let me stay here until he dies. Then after I bury him, that what kind of sense that make? I just bought some animals and stuff, and I got to prove and test my animals, and I just got this field, and I got to go check it. Excuses. How many of us are making excuses? God wants to bless our generations, but we're still making excuses. Not yet, God. Not now, God. I'm not ready yet, God. I'll do it, but does it require all that? Yes, God, I want to go with you, but you know, can't you make an exception in my case? So anyway, that's what happened. So even though the edict was given under Cyrus and some came back, very small number, now here we are with Darius, another king. And this is after at least one, maybe two other kings in between. They're under Darius. They still haven't all come back yet. And they still haven't come and completely rebuilt yet. So, folks, this is 2020. How long is it going to take us to even get motivated to get started? Because we're in March now. Pretty soon, it'll be June. Summer will be here. And a half a year is gone. And then we'll start making excuses. Well, it's too late now in the year. I might as well wait. You know how we do when we want to lose weight, but Thanksgiving coming. So we say, I'll wait till after Thanksgiving, and then I'll, you know how we do, and then now it's Christmas. So, you know, I might as well just wait till next year, because I know. And we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, but when are we going to realize that now, this is too important, I can't keep putting this off. This is too important. I may not get next year. But it's some things I need to leave in the earth. I need to deposit now that can't wait till next year. Too many generations are growing up that we can't keep waiting. Somebody has to have that mindset that I'm ready now, God. I'm ready now. I'm ready now. I want you to use me for the generations that are in my loins, those that are here and those that are coming. So as we prepare to wrap up, just think about this, Isaiah 61. So this thing is still going on, and that's how it is with many of our communities. We're still dealing with issues and problems that we've identified decades ago. Amen. Decades ago, and we're still dealing with it. Things in our families that we should have given attention to, still undone. So God is trying to stir us up. God is trying to get somebody, because it really only takes one. All it takes is one in a family that's on fire for God, and that can spark a whole fire among the whole family. All it takes is one in a community that gets excited about what God wants to do to bring transformation, and that one person will knock on doors, and that one person won't take no for an answer, and that one person will persevere to enlist others and bring them into the work. All it takes is one. The Bible says God is looking for a man. One that will make up the hedge. One that will stand in the breach. One that will stand between earth and heaven to bring that connection. Are you that man? Are you that woman? So Jesus gives the vision through the prophet Isaiah. We've read it before, but we'll read it again and we'll end up here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. It sounds like a God of deliverance and restoration to me. That he's sending a preacher. He's sending somebody to proclaim it, to announce it, to declare it, to release it, to send out what God is revealing. Somebody has to release this thing in the earth. That people may get excited and get the vision for it. Okay, you with me? Verse number 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord or the Lord's Jubilee. And we've talked about this many times. The Jubilee was the 50th year, 7 years of seven. And then the 50th year, the people were to be released. Their debts were to be canceled. Those that had sold themselves into servitude were to be released back to their family. So this was a time of joy and celebration for the people of Israel. Some may have only experienced one Jubilee in their lifetime, or at least two. One as a child, maybe one as an adult. 50 years. Some that were blessed to live longer may have experienced a third one. They made it over 100 to 100 or more. But this is something big in the life of the children of Israel. My debts are canceled. I'm released from bondage, from debt, from servitude. That's a big deal. Jesus came to announce the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee of the Lord. And the good thing about God's Jubilee, it is not refined or confined to 365 days. It is now a perpetual, continual Jubilee. We live under the favor of God. It's a perpetual, continual favor that Jesus released in the earth. Verse number 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for their ashes of sackcloth and mourning, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We talked about the importance of praise at the beginning of the message. He says there's a garment of praise that he's giving them to replace that spirit of heaviness. That's why praise is so important. If you're heavy, if you're confused, if you're depressed, if you're oppressed, if you're down, if you're sad, that's the best time to start praising God. Because when we start praising God, that heaviness has to lift. That sadness has to go. Because the joy of the Lord will begin to come in and strengthen us. Children of Israel said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, that's the best time to sing them. We know it now. That's the best time to sing it. Why do you think them slaves sung so much? Yes, they communicated messages through their songs, but they were also singing to encourage themselves, to praise God, to keep trusting this God that we've been hearing about, that even though our enslavers have used against us, there is still a God who is for us. I remember the old days when they used to have them chain gangs, and people used to sing on the chain gang. While they were breaking them bricks and stone, they were singing to make that time go by and to keep their cadence and get that song. Hey, that's the best time to sing. If you have never tried it, try it sometime. And see, won't it lift your spirits, give you hope again, stir your faith again. Sing those songs when you're going through. Bless the name of the Lord. All right, where are we? Verse number 3. To appoint in Zion them that mourn, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's us. We are trees of righteousness that God has planted all throughout the world to spring up the righteousness of God. That's why the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. God has made us righteous and plants us in families, in communities, in the world, so that that righteousness can spring up and spread. All right, let's read on. This is our last, I'm not going to take any other scriptures. We're going to finish here, maybe. And what's going to happen, Father, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They, us, shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, places that are barren and desolate and wastelands. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations, huh? That's our assignment. That's the vision that the prophet was releasing for the people. So they could see that this was God's plan for them. When we receive the blessing of God, the favor of God, the joy of God, the release of God, now we are planted so that righteousness can spring up and we can begin the repair, the restoration of things that have been destroyed for generations because of wickedness and unrighteousness and ungodliness. Yes. Folks, that's why it's so sad, and I know it saddens God, when God's righteous people live so unrighteously. When we won't seek to live right before him. Because that's our assignment. To be the righteous people of God in a wicked world. To be light in darkness. To be the salt of the earth. To set an example. We saw last week in, was it Zechariah, where it says that there'll be 10 people grabbing on to the skirt of one Jew. To the garment of one Jew, saying, you know, I'm going with you. Take me with you, because we've heard that God is with you. That's how it should be, saints. People are coming to us because they want to know the God that we know. They are coming to us because they want to have the joy that we have. They're coming to us because they want to know the peace like we know. They're coming to us because they want to know how we can be so calm and collected when things are going to hell all around us. They're coming to us because we're getting healed and restored. They're coming to us because we're delivered from addictions and from bondages. They're coming to us because they've tried everything else and nothing's working. But then they see you and they see how your life is changed, and they see how God has raised you up, and that draws them to him. Here it is right here in our last section. I'm going to read it because it's there. Verse number 5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Meaning people going to be working for you because you're working for God. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory, their wealth shall ye boast or count yourself. In other words, they're going to be coming to you. They're going to bring their wicked, the money, that they're going to bring that treasure. They're going to bring their resources to you because you have brought them to God. That's how it works. Right? We've been instructed to do the same thing, right? Those that preach the word to you, those that labor in the gospel, especially in the word, you're to bless them with the resources that you have. Well, that's the same thing that works for us. As we carry the good news of God, as we set the example, as we bring people to God, they'll be glad to give you some money. Money, here, you take the money. You need some land for that new center? Here, take the land. You're building community hospitals? Here, I've got some land over here. I'll give the land to you to get this done. And that's happening all over the world, by the way. This isn't projecting. This is stuff that's going on right now. People are giving people land, churches, giving them buildings, giving them resources so that they can carry out the work to build the communities. All right, a couple more minutes. Verse number 7. For your shame, you shall have double. For the confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess the double. Even everlasting joy shall be unto them. God's going to turn it around, folks. And all the stuff you went through, God's going to give you back double. Amen. 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 That's why we don't have to pursue the things. We do the will of God. He will provide the things. Didn't God restore Job double? Double of everything. Double the oxes he had. Double the camels. Double everything he had. And double the children, because he gave him 10 more. And gave him the other 10 back. Oh, is that in there? Yeah, he gave him double. Right? The first 10 and 10 more. Well, look, I read it the way the Spirit gives to me. Y'all can read it however y'all want to give it. Y'all can read it however you want to read it. He said double. Now, if he didn't get the other 10 back, he ain't had double. He just got 10 more. Ha, 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 ha. He said double. I like my way better. I don't care about nobody. I like it that way. Double is double. Amen. All right, so where are we? Verse number 7. We just did 7. Verse number 8. For I, the Lord, love what? Judgment or justice. God loves right. God loves right. God loves justice. God loves people being treated right. And when you live in a world of inequality and stuff, people aren't treated right. So when God raises up a people, he raises up a people to do what's right. So we've got to be people that do right, because we are the righteousness of God. Which means others may cheat. We can't cheat. Others may steal. We can't steal. Others may lie and backbite and connive to get their way. We can't do that, because we trust God and we do what's right. Verse number 8. I love judgment or justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I hate robbery for burning. Well, I'm going to steal something and then try to offer it to God. I'm going to steal from you and then try to offer it to God. I'm going to cheat you out of something, then try to offer it to God. God hates robbery, even for burnt offerings. And I will direct their work in truth. He will lead us and direct our work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Listen, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles or the nations, and their offspring among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge what? That they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. We are the seed that the Lord has blessed. We are his children that God has blessed. We are those trees of righteousness planted in the world that God has blessed. Last two verses. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Man wears jewels. God's people wear salvation and righteousness. And that salvation and that righteousness shines brighter than any of these diamonds and rubies and emeralds and sapphires and all of those precious stones. And we like them, you know. We like pearls and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and sapphires. And if you can't get those, we'll do garnets. And but we like the sparkly, glittering stuff. But nothing should shine greater than the righteousness of God and the salvation of God that's on our lives, saints. That's right. That's why Paul said, women, you shouldn't really even adorn yourself with all of that other stuff. But the righteousness, the hidden woman of righteousness should shine forth. So if we're going to wear it, I mean, you wear it. But most of all, wear the salvation and the righteousness of God and let that shine and let that draw people to him. Okay? Last verse. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud and the gardens cause the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. See, when you sow the seed in the ground takes over. Right? The soil takes over. Right? You put the seed in the soil takes over and goes to work. Right? God has sown us. Now it's time for that to spring up. He says it's going to spring up into righteousness. It's going to spring up. It's time, saints. Get that vision for your family. We are the righteousness of God. Our family is blessed. We are restored. We are delivered. Get that vision. My health is restored. And God has renewed my youth like the eagles. Get that vision. I am rich because God, Jesus became poor that I through his poverty might be rich. I'm rich in spirit. I'm rich in faith. I'm rich in joy. I'm rich in peace. I'm rich in favor. I'm rich in blessing and protection. And yes, I'm rich in wealth and resources to carry out the will of God. Get the vision. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Isn't that what Joshua said? Get that vision of your family being raised up from many generations of maybe poverty, maybe lack, maybe shortage. But now God has blessed us. And as Abram said, no one has made me rich but God. No one has done it but my God. Get that vision, folks, and then get to work. Get the vision and get to work. Start today. Don't put it off any longer. Today when you hear my voice, saith the Lord, harden not your heart. Thank you, Lord. Somebody give God a hand of praise. I'm done. We're going to give the invitation. We're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed.